This week is Dying Awareness Week, and today we've been joined by Helen Thomas from Tuwish. Hello.
Hello, how are
you? I'm fine, thank you. So what is Tuwish?
Tuwish is a charity founded in Wales, and we support anyone affected by the sudden or unexpected death of a child or young person aged 25 years and below. We've been an organisation for 12 years, and we were set up by our CEO and founder, Rhian Mannings. So 12 years ago, Rhian's one-year-old son, George, died very suddenly one evening. He became very unwell and was taken to the local hospital, where they had the most incredible care and support. But sadly, George died. And they left the hospital that night with no support. They left the hospital with a piece of paper with a couple of phone numbers on, in the hope that somebody would contact them or they would contact other people. And they didn't hear from anyone. And they were left to really deal with their own grief. The people who were there to support them were friends and families who were also grieving. And as a result, or as a consequence, really, of the limited support that was on offer, Rhian sadly lost her husband, Paul, 5 days later. When he took his own life, he felt that he couldn't deal with the grief that that they were trying to manage.
That's a really sad story to hear. And quite, you know, although that, so how many years ago was that? Then 12 years ago. So over that last 12 years, should we build in Tuwish, should we form Tuwish and to take it forward? Yeah.
Okay. So you know, having had a period of months to just even to try to process what had happened to them as a family, we felt it vitally important that no family would ever be left without support. If somebody had just come to their house and said, this is what you expect to happen, this is how we would expect you to feel when your child dies. And I think she has some very strong words that nothing could have saved George. Unfortunately, he was too poorly. But actually, with some intervention and some help, Paul could have been saved.
Yeah.
Paul could have survived.
So somebody going through this process, which was really horrendous, going through that process to lose a child, and then obviously with what she went through with the loss of her husband. What type of support do you think would have helped?
So I think somebody coming, so the support that we really give is we call it our immediate support. Somebody calling them the next day, somebody saying, can we come to the house? Can we talk to you about how you feel? Can we offer you some emotional support? Can we offer you some practical support? There's so many things to consider when a child dies, and often people have never been involved in a death or bereavement before. We're talking about young people, may never have organised a funeral, may never had to have dealt with the coroner's inquest, the police investigations. So I think just any support of somebody picking up the phone or coming to their house and sitting down and saying to them, this is how we expect you to feel and this is what is going to happen next. And to know that those people or that organisation are going to be there whenever they need that support.
But do you think we prepare people? Because we talk about new babies and we're all happy and, yeah, you know, rightly so, but we don't actually talk about that side of it, do we? I don't think society in general talks about what to do if somebody dies, no matter what age they are.
We don't. I think we shy away from language. So we often talk about people passing away or passing on, when we should be talking about death and dying. It is something that we all face at some point, whether, you know, it's an elderly relative or for the families that we support, a child or young adult. Actually having those conversations about death, about dying, that Dying Well Awareness Week, you know, gives people those opportunities to talk about what their wishes are, what they hope to happen, you know, in the inevitable event that we will all die at some point.
Is a charity around the whole of Wales or is it just in certain parts?
So we started off in the sort of Cardiff area. So we went into Cardiff. We very quickly over the next few years covered all of South Wales and into North Wales. And we're now in about to enter phase two of supporting England. So phase one was all the bordering counties. So from Cheshire right the way down to Avon and Somerset. And phase two will be across Hampshire and Devon and Cornwall and Merseyside. So we have a 10-point plan really of offering the support there across the whole of England over the next 6, 7, 8 years.
Wow. So obviously for the reason for your child to be set up and what, you know, the other story behind that, which is horrendous, but was it because there was no support from the statutory services?
No, so there's very limited support. So when George died, Rhian and Paul were given a piece of paper with some numbers on. They rang the numbers that were on there. Those that they had they got through to, nobody ever came back to them. And for the rest, there were numbers that weren't in use anymore. So there are statutory services. I mean, the hospitals now have bereavement leads and they do provide incredible care. But when you leave that hospital without your child or young person and you go home, there's no real support in the community. And that's where we come in as an organisation. So we will contact that family the same day. Our policy is to contact people within 48 hours because obviously there's a weekend. But if a child or young person dies today and that referral comes in to us today, we will ring that family this afternoon and we will make contact just so that they know that there is somebody out there. There's a whole myriad of questions. You know, they've been given information at the hospital. Your child or young person has died. You can't remember what day it is, let alone what you have to do next.
And so you provide not only the practical support, but emotional support?
So we provide emotional and practical support. So we have several aspects to the support that we give. The journey really starts at tuition, the hospital, where we provide bereavement rooms in A&E departments and in intensive care and paediatric intensive care, so that when people are dealt the worst news or have to sit while their child is being cared for, they have somewhere to sit. When the child or young person dies, the families are offered a memory box. And these are really important to us. These are something that their families can leave the hospital with. And there's a number of things inside the memory box, but the most important things are two elephants, two small elephants. We call them George, after Joel. And there's two reasons behind them. One is elephants never forget, but also the elephant in the room around child death. People don't want to talk about child death. It's something that happens to other people and to us.
And you do, and you probably find, I would imagine, that that family and friends probably keep a distance, perhaps, because they're dealing with it. But obviously, as you say, it's that elephant in the room. We don't.
They're terrified of saying the wrong things, so it's easier to cross the road than it is to face that person. And families often talk a lot about the loss of friendships that come with losing a child, because people are just fearful. You know, I'm sure we've all done it. We've seen somebody and thought, how do I ever broach the subject with that person so it's easier to not talk about it? And that's why the elephant in the room is so important to us. We talk about child death all day, every day, and we try to raise awareness around the importance of the support that families have.
So how long is the support you offer? Is it limited or is it ongoing?
No. So when the families leave the hospital with their memory boxes, and the whole point of the two elephants is that one stays with the child or young person and one will go home with the parents. And we offer more than one. Obviously, we have blended families these days. And that's really important to the parents to know that they have got something that their child has also got. Then we will take a referral from the hospital, from the police, from the air ambulance, from the fire service, from whoever, or a family themselves. And we will contact that family, as I say, within 48 hours. And we go out and see them. And we offer quite an intensive immediate support where we help them through the first weeks and months of their grief, of navigating what they need to do next. We often act as kind of go-betweens. If they're struggling to speak to the coroners and want information, we'll support them with all of that. And there's no limit to the support that we give. When the time is right, we try and introduce our families to our kind of network. So we have coffee mornings and we have support events. We have a closed Facebook group where we then gradually and sensitively introduce our families to other families who are also bereaved. And I think never underestimate the power of that peer support, of talking to somebody and saying, this is how I feel today. And having somebody who's able to say, I know how you feel, because we don't know how those families feel when we go out. And then that support continues on into perhaps a more structured form of support in the way of complementary therapy and counselling. So we offer our families complementary therapy to help with the physical aspects of grief. So people often talk about, I don't eat, I don't sleep, my anxiety is terrible, I can't leave the house. And actually having some reflexology or some aromatherapy is really vital to reset your body. And people talk often about, I slept last night for 5 or 6 hours for the first time after that. And we'll try and put that in place. And then again, when the time is right, but usually around sort of 5 to 6 months, we will then put professional counselling in place. people need to have that time to step back and process their grief before they then go into counselling. And we never go away at Tewish. We have events that go on. We have coffee mornings that go on in 8 locations across Wales every month. We have support events that go on every other month. So families can access the support from us. And I think there's a natural point where people step back and actually people have to go back to work or they've got other children to support.
Yeah.
And we perhaps see less and less, but then often at times when there are milestones in that person's life, they'll pick up the phone to us and we'll go back and we'll engage with them and see them at coffee mornings. We'll go to the house and see them. And so our support is ongoing. Never, ever.
And do you provide support, for example, like siblings? Do you provide support to them? Because I think they can be forgotten sometimes, can't they, in those situations?
The support that we offer is to anyone affected by the sudden or unexpected death of a child or young person. So we support the parents, the grandparents, the siblings. We've got a children and young persons coordinator who coordinates support for schools and for friends. And she will often run sessions within a school, or she will upskill the teaching staff to be able to deal with the grief that that school is managing. You know, when a child dies, it has a huge ripple effect, particularly when a child dies suddenly and unexpectedly. But that support doesn't end there either. We also offer support to witnesses, but also to professionals. So doctors, nurses, police, ambulance staff, if they have been affected by that sudden death, they can access exactly the same services that we offer to families.
And how do people get hold of you to find out? So first of all, before we do that, so the referrals come from, obviously, from the NHS and from others, but families can also contact you directly?
Absolutely. So we have a website which has a direct referral, and it just, there's a number of options on there. It could be a professional referring in, or it can be a family. It just says, I'm a family member and I need help. And they can refer to us. They can pick up the phone to us. They can ask a friend to phone for us. So long as we have consent and a contact number, we will ring that family and we will make sure that they have that support.
Excellent. What a fantastic charity you are. On the foundations being set upon, obviously you can see the benefits. So how many people do you sort of support over say, 12 months?
So I think last year we supported just short of 200 families that had been, and that's just in Wales. So just over 200 families. And I think during that time, we supported over 7,000 individuals who needed our support, whether they were families, friends, children in schools, staff. So huge numbers of people.
So would you say the key message from your discussion this morning with myself is you're not on your own?
Absolutely not on your own. Pick up the phone to us. We will support you in any way. We're not prescriptive in the support that we offer. We'll tailor the support that you need to you as individuals or to you as a family.
Well, thank you, Helen, for coming in. That was from the two. Is it a foundation or just a Tewish charity? And is there a phone number people can contact you on? If you haven't got it, it's fine. We'll route you to the website. It's fine. So that's the Tewish. So again, thanks, Helen, for coming in to help us understand the Dying Awareness Week. A sort of a campaign that's on at the moment. And that's again from the charity called Tewish. Thank you for your company. Thank you.